Welcome to the 122nd episode of Admissions Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you get to that wonderful moment when you can high-five the person next to you and shout, "Yes, I'm in." While some of you are still churning out secondaries and others of you are turning your attention to a 2016 medical school application, many more of you are facing or hoping to face medical school interviews. Yes, folks, med school interview season is in full swing. An invitation to interview on one hand is exactly what any medical school applicant is striving for, and at the same time, it induces stomach somersaults, teeth chattering, and knee knocking. So how can you calm the nerves? Simple. Prepare. In this episode, number 122 is going to help you do exactly that. But first, I want to mention that if you have questions either about this episode or other episodes of Admissions Straight Talk, or simply about admissions, please feel free to post them as comments at info.accepted.com/122. I'll do my best to answer them. And now, let's focus on medical school interview prep. Today, I have invited Alicia McNeeson-Moncar, who is currently a very popular consultant at Accepted and previously served as a director of UC Davis's post-bac program, to discuss interviews. Both at Davis and at UCLA, she has been preparing medical school applicants to interview articulately and with poise, confidence, and success. Alicia last appeared on Admissions Straight Talk in episode number 23, which took place long, long, long ago in July 2013. Doesn't that sound like a long time ago? And it's a pleasure.
It does.
It does, right. And it's a pleasure to speak to her today. Alicia, welcome back to Admissions Straight Talk.
Thank you. I'm excited to participate.
Great. And I'm delighted to chat with you today. One of the most common questions asked about interviews relates to interview attire. What should applicants wear for the big day?
Interview attire is pretty traditional. It hasn't changed that much over the years. But obviously for men, you want to wear suits with a tie, a jacket. I once interviewed a student who wore a very nice sweater, but ultimately he gave an excellent interview. But we ended up not accepting him just because of what he wore to the interview. One of our faculty members was offended, right, that he wore a sweater instead of a tie and with a suit jacket. So unfortunately, the feedback I had to give to that student was that he had a year to plan his outfit for the next interview because he accepted simply based on what he wore. For women, right, it's a little bit more complicated because we have more options. So, right, there's the option of pants and a suit top, suit jacket, or skirts and a suit jacket. But depends on what you're comfortable with. You know, if you are familiar with the area, you know, you're more than welcome to wear high heels or a skirt if you're comfortable walking in them. But I wouldn't wear or decide to wear high heels for the first time ever, right, on your interview day.
Oh, gosh.
And especially if you're not familiar with the area and you might have to walk quite a distance. Most schools often give you a tour on the day of the interview, so you want to be prepared to walk. So wear shoes that you're going to be comfortable in and that you're not going to be stumbling around and having difficulty getting around in or that could be painful. And same thing with your interview attire. If you can, try out your outfit before the day of the interview, right? Men and women, right? If you've got loose buttons, a zipper that's not cooperating, you want to find out about this well in advance so that you have time to get it repaired. You don't want to get to the interview and then have a wardrobe malfunction or something not go right. The most uncomfortable interview I think I've ever been at was with a female applicant who actually had lost a button on her blouse.
Oh, no.
And you could see, right, you could actually see her bra through, you know, her shirt. It was very uncomfortable. It was, you know, just a very difficult interview to get through. My heart went out to her. I wanted to say something, but it just wasn't appropriate because there were a panel of us interviewing her. And it just, you know, the whole thing was so uncomfortable. We ended up accepting her because obviously she wasn't aware of it. You know, it wasn't her fault. Yeah. But it was very distracting and it could have cost her easily, you know, the acceptance, you know, if she hadn't been so exceptional. So you don't want your outfit, right, to play a role in your admissions decision. So just make sure that you wear, you know, colors that are appropriate, usually darker colors, more traditional colors, black, blues, dark browns are the best. You don't want to be too flamboyant or exciting or try out a new, color or outfit on the day of the interview. So really take some time to decide beforehand what you're going to wear. Try it out. Wear it for a day. Make sure that there's going to be no malfunctions. And then it's always good if you can to carry like a little sewing packet just in case. You never know what's going to happen on the day of the interview.
That's great advice. Just so the listeners know, we also have a couple of blog posts that are devoted to interview attire, and we'll link to those from info.exib.com/122. So if you want further advice, but I think Alicia's advice has been excellent, and the basic point here is that you don't want your attire to be a question mark, to be an attention getter. You want you to be the attention getter. Let's go forward with the interview. There are two basic kinds of medical school interviews, not admission straight talk interviews. There's only one kind of that. But there are two basic kinds of medical school interviews, the traditional interview and the MMI. Can you describe each one of them briefly?
So with a traditional interview, usually it's one person who interviews you, or there can be two or three more people involved if it's a panel. In the traditional sense, it's one person interviewing you. So it's very comfortable, right? It's usually a one-on-one, and sometimes it'll be just a conversation, or it can be more formal where there will actually be a list of questions that the interviewer has for you. So with the traditional, it's about 45 minutes to an hour maximum. Sometimes it's, as short as 30 minutes if the interviewer is in a rush. Often, right, these people who interview have multiple roles at the school. They're either working in admissions, they're admissions professionals, or they're doctors or researchers, or they're people who play multiple roles for the medical school. So no one's primary job is simply just to interview. So it can be anywhere from 30 minutes to about an hour. Often length won't indicate whether it's going well or not. So even if you have a very short interview, that doesn't mean that, it wasn't going well. It could just be that the person's has limited time. So don't allow the time that the interview takes to make you feel like you did well or did worse than you did. With an MMI interview, the MMI method was started at McMaster University in Canada, and they wanted to create an interview method that would provide them with more objective feedback. So some of the complaints that some schools got from applicants was that, I traveled all this way to your school and I only met one faculty member who interviewed me for 30 minutes and I got a tour and that was my entire visit, right? And it was a very expensive process, and if people are not accepted after that experience, right, there's obviously going to be some bitterness and some room for criticism. So McMaster wanted to have applicants meet more than one interviewer, right? They wanted them to come into contact with more people to evaluate them so they would get a rating that they could compare from each person who meets the applicants, and that they could then have, like a cumulative score. In that way, they would be able to come up with a kind of objective way of evaluating a person, that if 4 out of 5 interviewers thought the person was amazing, right, chances were that it's more valid feedback than having one person provide feedback who might be biased or who might be having a bad day, mm-hmm. right? And having one person's feedback weigh in so heavily seems, right, not as fair.
Right.
So around that, most schools now have, right, a medical student as well as one or two faculty members interview student. The traditional method often includes more than one interview per day now. And the MMI includes anywhere from 8 to 10 stations where you spend about 7 minutes per station or so, and right, you participate in different activities. So actor scenarios, someone who's pretending to be in distress and you have to respond, traditional questions, collaborative activities where you're building something or telling someone how to build something, and then debate questions. So those are the main differences between them.
So it's okay. Well, I'll get back to my question in a minute. So in a traditional interview, I guess people can expect a more traditional kinds of questions, right? It'll be a faculty member or student or somebody like that, or admissions person, not necessarily faculty, asking why you want to be a doctor and that kind of stuff. Why this school?
Yeah, so there'll be questions about obviously your academics, right? Sometimes they'll pull out your transcript or your application right there and ask about your lowest grades or scores. They'll ask you about your MCAT scores, your test scores. So it's going to be a more personalized, more focused, specific interview, right? You'll get very specific personal questions versus in an MMI where it might be in a large room where there's several people at different stations. They might not get as personal, and they certainly will not have had time to review your application before the interview. So it will be very, just either activity-based or just very, more focused on general questions.
Right. So the traditional interview will obviously be very specific to the applicant's application, decision points, reasons, and things like that. How do you recommend that an applicant prepare for the traditional interview?
Oh, so for the traditional interview, since you're going to have more time typically to answer questions that are more focused on you and your background, it's really great to practice if you can in front of a video camera or to practice with a professional advisor like those of us that accepted. So somebody who has experience in guiding a student in composing their responses and the rhetoric of their responses. So I'm currently completing a master's in rhetoric composition as well as literature, and it's enormously helpful for me in guiding students in how to improve the way they respond and what they respond with. So it's the content as much as it is the process, the way that you deliver the information and the order in which you give it.
Okay. Can you give us an example?
So let me think about a good example. Questions that often get asked are, can you describe yourself, and then how would your friends describe you? Right. So they're looking for you to list characteristics about yourself. So often students will say one characteristic and then go into a big lengthy example of how they exemplify that characteristic. And then either they'll forget to do the other two, or they'll just do one, or they'll say one characteristic, give an example, and then say another characteristic, give an example. And the examples are just too long and big and confusing. And it can be easy for the listener to lose track of which characteristics they've named, the order. So for a question like that, I recommend that students, three is a magic number, choose three characteristics if they don't designate how many, that you state those three characteristics at the beginning of your response, give maybe one short example for each one or one big example that covers all three characteristics, mm-hmm. and then restate those three characteristics at the end of your response.
Right. Okay. That's
pretty
clear.
It's very clear. Beginning, a middle, and a conclusion, and there can be no confusion about what those three characteristics were.
Right, and you do the both in terms of what you feel define you and what you feel your friends might describe.
Exactly. So you'll have your three characteristics that your friends say about you, and the three characteristics you would use to describe yourself. And there should be some overlap, right? It would be odd if your friend said you're an extrovert and you describe yourself as an introvert.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a red flag by itself. So you do want things to match up.
Okay. What in-interview behaviors will enhance chances of success or diminish chances of success? I'm talking now about when you're sitting across the table or across the room from an interview.
So those students who are actually engaged in listening to the questions and crafting their responses based on what the actual questions are versus the students who memorize responses. It's so easy to spot when someone has canned responses where they've memorized it and they've done it, told it 100 times. It looks like they're reading the back of their eyelids. Like they get this glaze on their face.
Looking up at the ceiling.
Yeah, and you can tell if you're trained in reading facial expressions like I am, and body language, you can actually see what quadrant of the brain people are looking or using. So I can see if someone's looking in a particular direction, I can see that they're accessing their memory. So often when people have memorized response, they stare up at that particular quadrant. It's very easy to see. Yeah. And it's boring. The responses are boring. They're not engaged, right? They're not. Uh-huh. It's not interesting because it's something you've said 100 times. So you really want to be genuine and enthusiastic and excited to be there and in the moment, right? It's your moment mm-hmm. to shine. You've earned that interview. You've spent all those years doing the community service and clinical experience and all those years of studying and, you know, getting to that point in your life where you're applying, you've put the time and the money and the effort into it. So really being able to be fully engaged and present in that moment.
Okay. Now let's turn to the MMI. And you mentioned stations and activities and actors. I mean, can you give a little bit fuller description of the MMI?
Yeah, so with the MMI, it's anywhere, again, from somewhere between 8 to 10 different stations. It's about, you know, an average 7 to 10 minutes per station. And there's 4 different types of questions. You'll get the traditional questions, you know, that are, why do you want to go into medicine, et cetera. The second type of question are actor situations. So a common one will be responding to someone in distress and you needing to calm them down. The third type of question is a collaborative activity where you either build something or help someone else build something by giving instructions. And the fourth is basically debate questions, so arguing a point. Some schools will give you pro or against what your argument will be.